Hey, it's good to see you today. Welcome to our Journey Through Scripture podcast, our Tuesday episode. Hope that you had a good weekend and maybe had a chance to watch the Super Bowl. It was really dull for about three quarters and then became really exciting. So I hope you had a good weekend. All right, as we continue our journey through Scripture chronologically, we're into the New Testament and the writings of Paul, and Paul is in prison. He's towards the end. He's already done all his missionary journeys. Now he is writing some of his letters back to churches that he has already started. We just got finished with Colossians. Today we'll be in Ephesians. We'll go Ephesians chapters 1 through 4. Colossians and Ephesians are very, very similar. In fact, most of Colossians is in Ephesians. Ephesians is a little bit different. There's not a lot of personal things that Paul has, like with people from Ephesus, and he spent a lot of time in Ephesus. So some people think, and I think there's, again, it doesn't matter a whole lot, but I just think it's kind of interesting that Ephesians may not have been a letter just to the church, the Ephesian church, but to many different churches and went out to different places, and that's definitely a possibility. But it is similar to Colossians. Again, it talks a lot about who Christ is, gives us a very powerful picture of him and the purpose of the church and the unity that we have in Christ. And so we'll go through the first probably four chapters today of Ephesians. Starts off as a greeting. And again, you're going to recognize a lot of this stuff from Colossians. In verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, right? So in all of time of how everything is working out, this is just such a powerful statement. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are are on earth, in him. So again, this talking about the centrality of Christ, that Christ is God, that he is creator, that everything is found in him. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. You know, that again, it's all about Christ, that he is sovereign, that God is sovereign. You know, there's lots of theological issues on the predestined there. And does God predestine us to come to him? Well, we only have faith because he has given us the ability to have faith. I think we can take that too far. The main thing that we need to understand is that, yes, God is sovereign. God is above everything, and we are found in him. And he has given us the opportunity to have a relationship with him, to be found in him. And anyone can choose to follow that, right? Whether they've been, I mean, we're not the ones who know who has been predestined, right? If that's the way that it works, God works all of that out. The way that we function in a practical way is that we believe that everyone is invited to come to this relationship in Christ. And we know some are going to choose not to. So if then we want to say, well, they weren't predestined. Okay. I don't care about that stuff. The most important thing is that we understand that everything is in Christ, that it is all about him, that we can do nothing to enter into that relationship with him, but he has invited all of us because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He has invited all of us to enter into this relationship with him and to accept what he has done for us. And that invitation is open to everyone. So I don't care who has been predestined or who may not have been predestined. I think our focus should be on living out this message, sharing this message with everyone and inviting them to recognize that the God who is sovereign, the God who is above all of this, loves them and is inviting them to come into a relationship with him. So it continues on. Again, very familiar language. Verse 20 says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seating him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Again, Christ is above everything. He's against all, above all of the other things, other principalities, other spiritual forces. It all pale in comparison to the power of Christ, as well as anything that is to come. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So again, I think we understand the, what Paul is getting at of elevating Christ to be above all. And then chapter 2 talks about grace through faith. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? It's just been talking about how the amazing place where Christ is, that he is in the throne room of God, right? Because he is God. Well, he's raised us up where we can sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus in the age to come, that he might show, this is verse 7, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And again, it's nearly always both sides of the coin when it comes to these theological things. Sometimes we tend to focus on the by grace and grace alone, not by work, so that no one can boast, right? That's right there, plain and simple, very, very easy to see and completely understandable, because as humans, we're going to look at other people and we're going to say, you know what, they're not serving God as much as me. Obviously, God loves me more. Right? I mean, that's what we're going to do. So Paul makes it very clear that you cannot earn your way into God's good graces. None of us are good enough. It's not about that. It is about his grace given to us. And then in the exact same breath, Paul says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Right? So we are supposed to do good works. So for those who focus and so much on, well, it's by grace alone, grace alone, grace alone, yeah, but then we need to do good works. That makes a difference too. It's not just grace alone and okay, well, good. God loves me. I can do whatever I want. No, now you start doing the work that God has created you to do, which is to live your life imitating him. Right? It's kind of, it's frustrating how we theologically we mess this up. We make it way more complicated, in my opinion. Now, there'd be people that would think I'm basically blasphemy right now. But I just encourage you, don't get overwhelmed in this. It's very simple. You are saved by grace alone so that you can live your life the way God created you to live your life, which is imitating him. That's it. Continues on. He talks about Christ being our peace, how Christ unites us, how Christ is the cornerstone, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I love how he brings in how God has been working this whole time, right? And that's the foundation. And we are now part of that foundation, being built on top of it, that Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. How cool is that, right? That God is working together. He's building up his church. He is constantly engaged and active in the world around us. Chapter 3, starting in verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of all ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Again, remember that mystery, that's a Gnostic term, that they're looking for the mystery to unravel the mysteries of the universe, and they're seeking this secret wisdom. Well, Paul's saying that's Christ. That's found in Jesus. Verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, right? Now we are making known the truth to in the spiritual world as well. According to the eternal purpose which he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And then he continues to talk about the appreciation of this mystery. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Right? That we get a glimpse of that mystery to be found in Christ and Christ alone. Chapter 4 talks about unity, the church that is very different and has different gifts, but it is all working for the same thing. It is working to share the gospel, that it is in Christ. Verse 11, chapter 4, and he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I love that. It says that we should no longer be children, carried with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. That's what we should desire. And we should recognize that there are many who will try to deceive. And we have to check everything with the truth found in Scripture. And we're not always going to get that right. And there will be disagreements in some of that. So we have to have a lot of humility in that. But understand that there is truth to be found, and it is found in the Word of God. Then it talks about, because of all this, we need to put off our old self, and we need to put on, in a little bit it'll be the armor of God, but we need to be imitators of Christ. And the last part of this chapter 4 really talks about the things that we need to walk away from. Verse 18, do not walk as the Gentiles in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have learned, have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. right? And then the last part of this, I'm going to continue to read. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, what he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. This is what it means to start living our life for Him. It's putting away the things of the flesh, the old things, and beginning to live our lives according to God's ways, to be imitators of Christ. And those are some of the very practical things. And you know, how many people are so burdened and torn up by bitterness, right? By wrath, by anger, even if it's justified, right? But when you allow that to guide you, it just leads to misery. God is actually wanting us to be free from all that so that we can truly experience His blessings. All right. Thursday, we will finish up Ephesians. So let's look in chapters 5 and 6. And we'll just finish up Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. All right. We'll see you on Thursday.